Monster Man, Episode 101, Giants. Do do doodly do 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 doodle doodle do do doodly do 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 doodle doodle do. Stop pitching with the Monster Man. It was a bad plan, but I had to get to town. Not the way I found it was a hand came down. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear, and as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. As you can maybe tell from the theme song, I'm still on holiday. Indeed, this is our last show from on the road. Next week, should be back to normal with the actual theme song and the better editing and so on. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about some familiar monsters from the G section of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who has gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $5 level, you will receive not only access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, but also the opportunity to choose a monster of your preference for a special extra-long episode. So thank you very much to Dave Noonan. Your support is appreciated. Alright, in today's episode, we are talking about giants. Now, there are two giants in the Fiend Folio, basically expanding the list of giant categories from the Monster Manual. And these guys kind of slot into gaps, if you will, in the progression of different types of giant in the Monster Manual from the lowly hill giant to the mighty cloud giant. These are the fog giant, created by Gene Wells, and the mountain giant, created by Louis Boschelli, or Boschelli, maybe. And as I've said before, if Gene Wells is actually Jean Wells, then Jean, je suis désolé. Okay, so let's start with the fog giant. Now, the fog giant is an interesting example of... I've said before that there are some monsters in the Fiend Folio that are responding to kind of perceived lack in the Monster Manual. And these guys are sort of, it says, if you find six fog giants, they're usually accompanied by a cloud giant. And,
excuse me,
I would have to look up, and I don't have my Monster Manual with me, whether these guys are, bigger or smaller than the fog giant. They don't have sort of their exact size. Well, they're 18 feet tall, actually. So I missed that. Yeah, I thought it's size large, 18 feet tall. I don't know how that stacks up to a cloud giant. My hunch is that it's a little bit smaller, and that these guys are slightly lower on the totem pole than the cloud giants. There's an interesting, they seem to have kind of a fancy pants aesthetic, with sort of a bit like a cloud giant, a bit like a frost or storm giant. It says they have massive ornate swords and prefer armor made from white dragon hides studded with silver. To which one can only say, ooh la la, I would prefer an armor made from white dragon hides studded with silver as well. Just I don't necessarily know that it would be that easy for me to get it. I mean, these guys have got AC1 14 hit dice, but I don't know if they're necessarily ready to take on a white dragon. I'd have to look up the white dragon stats. And the white dragon's not the toughest of the first edition dragons, but still no slouch. I'm not sure that making its hide like a staple of your wardrobe, maybe these white dragon hide armors are handed down from proud fog giant parent to, young fog giant warrior child. And together with the massive ornate swords. It's interesting that the massive ornate swords provide no mechanical advantage. They do the same amount of damage. Similarly, their armor has no effect on their AC, so it's purely for looks, which I kind of find sort of charming, like the idea that they're dandies. They go to all the trouble to get the hides of white dragons and stud them with silver. I mean, even if you're just buying your white dragon hides on the open market, right, that's an expensive proposition, to say nothing of the silver. And it does nothing. Right? Their AC is 1, whether they're wearing their suit of fancy pants, white dragon leather, or they're buck naked. So that's a real commitment to a bit, which is something I like about the Fog Giants, right? They're very committed to having ornate silver-chased swords and, fancy white leather, scaly armor with, you know, with silver studs. Like, they really like to look good. And they like it so much that they're willing to risk their lives fighting white dragons for absolutely no practical benefit whatsoever. I think this tells us a lot about the Fog Giants, and a lot that actually makes them fun, right? They're vain, they probably have some kind of, like, status competition between themselves. You know, that's fun. They're neutral, indeed, says, you know, some of them 50% are neutral good and 50% are neutral evil. So, you know, they may have some divisions within their own society. So you can definitely see a situation in which, you know, you could maybe get a Fog Giant on your side by offering it something that would help in the, you know, relentless fashion parade that is Fog Giant society. So something that you know, on paper, just sort of like, you know, it's like a Cloud Giant, but a little bit different. Just that little bit of difference actually gives you some sense of the Fog Giant, right? I mean, the Cloud Giant is your classic kind of Jack and the Beanstalk, lives in a big house, big chair, big goose. You know, the dire bear is his dog, and the ant giant is the ant that lives in his pantry, and so on. So he's sort of a very, like, blown up version of, you know, an ordinary person, at least in the Jack and the Beanstalk environment, right? Whereas the Fog Giant seems to be kind of an aristocrat, you know, a bit of a show off. I think that gives them a fun flavor that makes them not all that, that makes something that originally was not all that distinct from other types of giant, a lot of fun. So, yeah, I actually wound up liking Fog Giants a little bit more than I expected to. Normally when I come across one of these, like, oh, here's some more different types of orc or whatever, you know, like, the existing one serves perfectly adequately, right?
Oh dear, excuse me.
I apologize for my yawning. I have no way to edit this out. I'm a little bit sleepy on this last day of my journey, but we'll carry on. We only have one more type of giant. There's only two. And the other one is the mountain giant. And of the illustrations here in the giant section, I gotta say I love this mountain giant. It's another Russ Nicholson picture, and it's got a great sort of sense of perspective where you really feel like you're down on the ground looking up at this enormous brute. As it says, the mountain giant is described as, like their cousins, the hill giants. And yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, a mountain is like a hill, but bigger, and a mountain giant is like a hill giant, but bigger. The only thing that they have about them is that they have this ability to summon and control other monsters, including hill giants. They have kind of servants and guards, that can be ogres, typically, but sometimes trolls or hill giants. And they sometimes are found living in family units, but otherwise they're just kind of adult males. So almost imagine that they're, you know, there's some animals where you get that, right? Where you get family units or you get kind of young males off by themselves. That's an interesting look. And I guess the idea is that they're sort of chiefs almost to these other creatures, right? Like ogres are social creatures, but you don't really think of giants that way, right? They don't like get together and hang out. The mountain giant, who we may imagine to be kind of the biggest bully of the bunch, can do this. It's sort of like, in Old Norse, I don't want to say sagas necessarily, because I think some of these might, well, some of them are sagas, and some of them are thotir, or stories, and that's a distinction that I don't feel competent to explain. You do get these stories of giants who live in giant societies in mountains, right? That's where, you know, the song, In the Hall of the Mountain King, bum, 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 bum. That comes from one of those stories about, you know, a giant who lives in the mountain and is sort of grants magical favors to mortals, but also sometimes he just wants to gobble them up or whatever. And I think that the mountain giant is meant to be a little bit like that, you know, that you would go and, you know, have to kind of infiltrate his mountain lair. And, you know, sneak around and get the treasure and captives and whatever that he's accumulated. Whereas a hill giant is more likely to just be like, oh, you spy this guy from a long way off, chucking rocks around, and you think, better not go over there. So the mountain giant basically adds a little structure to your various wildernessy brutes. It kind of gives you a pyramid to fight your way up. Other than that, he's basically just a bigger, buffer hill giant. But I'm interested in this power that he apparently has to control other monsters of the kind of giant-y type. Sorry about the sirens. Like I said, when we're doing it live, sometimes we get interruptions from elsewhere. But back to normal soon, I promise. Anyway, where does it come from? You know, the giants in particular, for the most part, are quite physical. Occasionally, I think the thing like storm giants can throw thunderbolts or whatever, but generally, they're pretty material. So this guy seems to have some kind of natural dominance over other kinds of giants, and that's interesting, you know. What is it that imbues him with this ability? You know, maybe a mountain giant is just kind of like, you know, sometimes a hill giant child is born who happens to have this kind of, you know, uber hill giant, like some freak genetic throwback. Because I always sort of assume that hill giants are degenerate descendants of nobler giant races. Again, collapse seems to be something that I find appealing about monsters, right? That all these things that were living in the ruins. But you could definitely see that, you know, hill giants are sort of what you get when your proud storm or frost or whatever giants, you know, interbreed with, maybe with ogres or something like that, and they kind of produce this kind of, well, he's technically a giant, he's just kind of a big person. And so then maybe every so often you get a hill giant born who has some more remnant of the bigger and more intelligent, more powerful giant races. You know, that's what a mountain giant is. Although the idea of mountain giant families, I guess, argues against that. But I think that would be fun. You know, like, the hill giants were never a problem until, you know, some freak among them became their warlord and, you know, mind-controlled them to go raid all the cities and stuff and bring him spoil. You know, that's a pretty simple basis for a scenario, but, you know, it's a pretty good one. It has the good, like, infiltration structure, where, like, oh, we don't have to battle our way through all these giants, we just have to, you know, sneak into the lair, you know, making our way past all these ogres and whatnot, and then take out this one guy, and then they'll be kind of leaderless and confused, and we should be able to get away. That's a real classic kind of, only a small group of highly trained agents could pull this off, rather than, like, why don't we just get all the, you know, pikemen and halberdiers together and go fight the giants in a bunch. Because, like, they're tough. They're not that tough. Unless there are loads of them. So, yeah. I like my throwback freak mountain giant. I think he's got a lot of potential. All right. So, that will do it for this episode of Monster Man. In our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at the fire-shooting giant ostrich guy, the giant strider, and the oft-overlooked Gibberling, and then in the episode after that, it's Gith time. So please be sure to join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.